of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. The follow directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And remember to bring your Chrome browser. And of course, we also co-stream it at twitch.tv. So just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. That's SFUONCALL. And you will find the Twitch stream. And tonight is one of those ones that you want to do that, given that tonight we are doing FedCom, learning the Federation Commander in the online client. So you can learn more about the online client and also learn about, you know, more about, you know, playing Federation Commander. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, just give me a call. Oh, sorry, not give me a call. Send me an email. I think that works better when it comes to the email clients. I don't think you can make a call from an email client, but anyway. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can reach me via Twitter. My podcast account is sfuoncall. Of course, my personal account is Paul France, PaulFranz. And of course, I'd like to talk about being Catholic and also all kinds of tech. And of course, those O's. Go O's. Yeah, baseball. Let's go on to something a little happier. Moving on to the news from A to B this week. Steve Cole was actually busy doing multiple things, just getting ready for surgery because, you know, he lost all that weight. He had that skin just flapping, which actually is a health issue at that point. Because you get skin ulcers and that kind of thing. It's just not good. Had the surgery. The surgery was actually successful. He's still recovering from it, you know. But in addition to that, also this week, lots of Shapeways minis were posted up there. I think Gene said there was like somewhere like 29 or something along that lines. He announced it on Facebook, and at the moment, I can't remember the number right off the top of my head. I didn't have time to research the exact number. I apologize for not doing that earlier. Just a reminder of one of the things that you can get from StarfleetGames.com. Actually, they point you to a couple e-tailers, digital e-tailers. If you go to StarfleetGames.com/Federation/Commanders%20Circle/First-Missions.SHTML, that would be a great place to look to grab a free copy of First Missions. First Missions, in case you don't know what First Missions is, it's an introduction into Federation Commander. It talks about the basic rules about how to play. There are certain things that are left out, like how to do damage allocation. Using a chart, they just say, okay, just damage how you want it, damage it. Moving onward forward to the Sapphire Star tournament, the final Peter Bakia versus Jack Taylor is going to be this Sunday. The possible conclusion, we don't know this for a fact, but it's possible conclusion will be this weekend. So it's going to be on Sunday. So definitely, if you want a good game to watch, tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday night, and you'll see a really good game. Just a quick thing about that game, and that is the quick current status is that the Gorn has about like 40 so internals, has no torps for at least 2 turns, and that's if he uses fast load Fs. The Shark has about 50 internals, but has more guns, which is he has two disruptors and five phaser ones and two drone racks versus Gorn's three phaser ones, two S-torps. I didn't include the phaser threes because they're pretty similar. And a better shield situation. The Shark has two moderately solid front shields. The Gorn has only one. I agree when it comes to the front shields. And the Shark has three shuttles versus the Gorn, which is, in this case is very good because of if the Gorn actually launches torpedoes, obviously having some wild weasels available would be good. And definitely given that he won't have anything for two turns, at the very least gives the Shark the ability to set some up. Obviously, the one thing that was not mentioned is that the Shark is lower on power than the Gorn, but the Gorn needs more power, really, overall, which is a good thing. So I think it's still a very close game. So definitely, if you want to see a good ending, tune in to that game, 7 o'clock. Get on the SW Online client. You can even log in as a demo account and watch it for free. So you can, you might not be able to play, like the Gorn and the Shark, but you can watch those tournament games for free. So if you want to watch it, feel free to log in as a demo account and watch the wonderful final to the Sapphire Star Tournament 4. Moving onward and forward to the library. I've not sent this out to people, but I need to do that, which is when it comes to the library, I got Steve Cole to send me some Omega and LMC ship backgrounds. Didn't give me many, but it gave me something so we can actually get some progress for that. So I need to tell my peeps that do some of my ship conversions that, hey, we've got a few background ships. Would anybody be willing to do a few Omega ships so we can start the conversion process for those? But still, it remains at 2,522 with yet to be converted to 799. So that's where it currently lands. When it comes to the FedCom library, squadrons and fleet size ships stay at 348 for a squadron size and 246 for a fleet size ships. That's my fault. Sorry. I've had a very long week and tired week. So I've actually got sent ships. I just haven't gone around and actually added them to the library. And I apologize for those people waiting for these ships to be up there. I will be sending more off to Seth and more. I got to check on Chris to see how many he actually got done, because he sent me some. Some of them are not completed. The ones that he said are not completed, basically, he didn't have the information to add into the properties, i.e. things like movement cost, BPV cost, value, the BPV of the ships. I'm not sure if he got around to actually putting in the Empire, which in the property is called Race. So it is what it is. That's what it is in the clients, even though, the name of Forge Empire, and I'll use that so Gene won't throw the frying pan at me. You will see progress continue on this. This is just a quick slack on my part. I'll get that done this weekend. You will see more things in the library. I'll send more to Seth, and we'll keep this ball rolling. Okay? And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have a special thing that I'm going to try to do tonight. I am going to try to teach a little bit about Federation Commander, learning how to play it using the online client tonight. And hopefully we'll see how it goes. Obviously, if you could send me some feedback, that'd be great. either at sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Or go on the YouTube and put a comment there. Obviously, if you are not watching the video either on Twitch or on YouTube, then this might not go so hot. Now, I'm hoping to say enough so people who are listening via the podcast can actually follow along. Obviously, this is going to be a very visual type of podcast, so I would recommend either going to twitch.tv pretty quickly, because I forget how all of my videos aren't saved. I think because I've got a free account, so I only have so many videos that they save. But definitely on YouTube, they'll have the video for as long as they keep me around. Because, hey, you never know, you know, that might say something controversial, like SFB rules or something like that, that they might say, oh, no, not that, you know. And it's too controversial for even YouTube, which is hard to imagine. But, yeah, never know. It's not like I have sponsors on this podcast, so I don't have to worry about monetization. Thank you. And such like that. So, with that in mind, we will start this process by first. Okay, I'm going to switch over to my online client. I've already logged in. Now, what I've logged in as, I'll show you. Let me log out and I'll log back in. Let me just type in my password real quick. And I put it in authenticated mode so that I can access the client without actually logging in and interacting with people. That means, for those of you in the audience, if you are new, you have to have an account to use the authenticated mode, which is kind of an offline kind of mode. Okay, I'm going to bring up start a new game, and this was the icon for starting. The one that says Federation Commander Klingon Border, that's the icon for Federation Commander. So you bring that up, and let's just call it Learning Room. Okay. Bring up that. Now, another reason for doing this is because I got a question on Facebook this past week. And the one thing about that they kind of mentioned, it was kind of noticed, was, well, do you have any tutorials on how to use the client? And I have some tutorials, some quick ones. Okay, how to do this, how to do this, how to do this for Federation Commander portion. Problem with that, they're around 8 years old. So given that, I think I should update things a bit, and hopefully with people that can actually learn, in this case, learn about Federation Commander and how to play it online and just offline, you know. So with any game, you know, on using the online client, the first thing you have to do is you have to put a ship on the board. Okay, so let's just go up the top of the screen here. Let's do this. And let's expand a little bit. And let's give this a little bit of color. At the moment, I'm going to switch the map color to be, let's say, green. Okay, that's an interesting color. Okay, let's start with 1501, and let's right click and I add a piece here. That there's multiple ways of adding things. That's one thing to bring up this list. The other one is, which is right here, which is you can add a piece, in which case you have to enter in your position where you want. Otherwise, it puts it at the very top corner, 0101 location. Also, if you want to, you can go up the board and say add piece here. So there are multiple ways of adding a piece. Sorry. That's the problem. for those of you who are not watching the video, I accidentally scrolled, in which case it did that. Maybe I should have switched it over to for scroll bars, but I didn't do. Okay, let's add a piece here. Okay, let's choose relatively innocuous one. Let's go with the D7 because in my mind, the best ship to start teaching is the D7. One, it's familiar. That's number one. Number two, the one thing that the D7 has is that it's not multi-turn. It's single. It's immediate firing. You don't have to worry about tracking and all. Now, when it comes to, obviously, the client manages multi-turn arming weapons and helps you to manage those, you know, and go through the flow there. But let's simplify the process. Again, just I'll select the D7, add that, let's call it, okay. Let's call it con. I forgot to do that. Okay. Another one I'm going to do is I'm going to add, I'm going to add the Zinti. Let's go for, we're going to put it on the board. That's 1709 at the moment. Let's go add the Zinti frigate at 1709. And I'm just going to say target. Basically, it's going to give us something to fire at. Okay, and this, yeah, let's leave it facing A. Now, one thing, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, there's the option to track movement. What that does is it will automatically add the side slips and turn counters onto the board. That's an option. Obviously, I've never seen anyone say no to that, but it is an option. And if you want to, you can say, I don't want to track that. Now, just to let you know, it will actually still track turns and so forth, and you will be still good to go when it comes to that. But, it will tell you, okay, you went five hexes forward before you needed to go forward, you know, before you turned. So it helps you track that turn mode. Okay, and I'll close the add window, and I screwed up and placed the D7 the wrong direction. So what I need to do is just go with move, change facing, and it's now facing D. Okay, now, and over here, oops, that's not the wrong one. Yeah, this is the right one. This is the way it is currently. This might change, but here's the D7. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some of the basics for even if you're not using the online client. And that is, these shield boxes, you know, they're shields. They protect you from enemy fire. And in Federation Commander, unlike Starfleet Battles, you don't have to do anything. They're automatically included and you don't have to charge them. There's no energy cost related to using shields. It's just a part of the ship, and it's one of the simplifications that Federation Commander did. Anything that's in this pink color, those are weapons. Obviously, I pointed them out, so let's go with that. Okay, you'll see this like FX here, FA. FA. Those are your firing arcs. Your ship, the weaponry ships have limited fire arcs. They can't fire in any direction. They only can fire in certain directions because of where they're mounted on the ship. And in some cases, because of the weapon itself doesn't support, expand, what you would consider expanded arcs. So in the case of these disruptors only can have a forward arc. Now that's goes on this line. Okay, let's go over here. From here to here, so all along what's called shield number six. This will be shield number six. This will be shield number two. So it goes from here to here, and here to all along this line. So let me just do this. Let's do an added line of sight here. And another line of sight as far as a tool. And here. This is the firing arc for it goes from here all the way over to here. That's the forward firing arc. This extended firing arc, in the case, I'll use the frigate here. The extended firing arc would be from here to here. Let's go here. Basically from here all the, sorry, wrong way. I'm thinking about rear extended, not forward extended. Forward extended is here all the way around to here. So those phasers have really, really good arcs. Those three phasers up in the boom. These back here, they're right, it was called right and right rear. And these over here are left rear. So right arc would be over here. Right rear is from here off out your shield number three out down out your shield number four. So that's right rear. Left rear is out shield number four here all the way out your shield directly out your shield number five, and then of course left again shield number out shield number six all the way around to shield number five all the way. These hexes all the way around. So let's remove these from the board. Okay. So that would give you an idea of what the weapons are. Now, of course, we have also drone racks. In FedCom, Federation Commander, what drones are basically they're missiles that you flaunt at your opponent. Now, one thing about drones, in a tactic sense, just to help you understand what they'd be used for, yes, you fire them at your enemy. Most of the time, you don't expect them to actually land on, you know, actually hit your enemy. Which I know that sounds like a really weird thing, but tactically it makes a lot of sense, because what you normally use now, obviously, for a Klingon D7, it's got two drone racks. It's not going to be as much. It's what's called mobile terrain, but that's a lot what it is. But in the case of the Klingon, what you might just use it for is for absorbing. Damage, you know, absorbing not damage, but phasers that are being fired at you, you know, or, you know, normally be fired at you. Do you have them fire at your drones instead, or have force your opponent to hold back some weapons fire so it can take care of the drones? Like if you decide to go in first and have your drones follow. Okay, and then of course, one thing I mentioned here, which is okay, the blue boxes, those are all power. This is how much power is generated for each turn of undisabled boxes. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 impulse. You got 4 reactors here, and then you have 15 right warp and 15 left warp. So, actually, if you scroll here, you'll see currently the energy is 42. Why is it 42, may you ask? Well, it's 42 because of, in addition to that power systems, the beginning of a Federation Commander, you get the power from the batteries. Now, normally, what happens in a turn is at the end of the turn, any leftover energy, energy that you have not used, then you can actually take that energy and put that back into, you know, put into the batteries so it can go on to the next turn. And so that you'll have more energy for the next turn if you don't use it all the first turn. Now, it's limited by the number of undisabled batteries that you have. So that's a reminder of that. Of course, we have transporters. That's for hidden run raids. Tractors, you can tractor ships or seeking weapons, but that's only drones. You cannot tractor plasma torpedoes, which I'm not showing here. I'm not going to go into plasma torpedoes at the moment. Now, this thing, like, what's in, like, this peach color, forward hull and rear hull, that basically, it's internal structure. Crew quarters, the bowling alley, you know, if we lose the bowling alley, it's all is lost. But things like that, things that are not consequential to the actual operation of the ship. They're there for the crew so they can actually live on the ship. You know, you might lose the kitchen and so forth. But when you're in combat, you're not going to be eating something, you know? You're not going to go to the kitchen. You're not going to be sleeping in your bunk, you know? So no worries there. Now, for those of you that are watching, the one thing I grabbed, which was called First Missions. First Missions is the basic rules for Federation Commander. And this, it's a free version of the rules. It's trimmed down so it has the basics. So you can learn what about Federation Commander. And as pointed out here, fleet scale rules, you know, there's two scales, fleet scales and squadron scale. I'm showing the squadron scale here. Now, First Mission is entirely written for fleet scale. And the thing is, scale doesn't matter. I think more of that first, let me just look, because I think this is correct. Nope, there it is. See, you have some, in First Mission, you have some free ships here. And if you notice, like in this case, the D7 Battlecruiser, if you compare it to what's in the client, you'll notice that it's half the weapons, approximately. So instead of having four disruptors, you've got two disruptors. Instead of having 15 warp, you've got eight warp. You know, for eight left warp, eight right warp. So, but that's all. It's part of the free product. You only get the fleet edition, which, you know, the whole idea of FedCom First Missions is that to help you learn the rules and learn the system. So moving onward, okay, the first thing you do in, whoops, did not mean to press the fire button. That was a mistake. Okay, I've got two ships here. Got your Klingon, you got your little frigate, which will play target practice on now. Normally, I might be scared. I'd be concerned a little bit because that's four drones. And Lord knows, I only got so many phasers to destroy those drones because each drone takes 4 points of damage to kill. So, and you only have so many phasers. And that's one thing about weapons. Weapons can only be fired once every turn. In addition to having the limitation of those firing arcs, i.e. what you're firing at must be in that arc, you also can only fire that weapon once. Now, there's some special weapons, very special, that you can fire more than once, but we're not going about, that's more advanced because of its different ship. Just to let you know, those do exist, but for the most part, you're allowed to fire once per turn. A weapon once per turn. That is the general rule. So the first thing you do in the game, because if you notice here, it says here, you know, in turn zero, which I know it sounds strange, but it is turn zero. Pulse one, which is energy allocation phase. So what you start with is you start by doing an energy allocation. Now, energy allocation is very, very trimmed down in Federation Commander. So let me go over to here. Okay, and what I'll do is this, actually. Let me floating windows. Let me bring up the EA panel. Okay. If you notice, it's very small because there's only certain things now. Doubling. Okay, let's first begin the EA. Okay, you got three batteries. Doubling is only for Orion ships. They have that. They have the ability to double their engines, double the amount of power that's being generated by the engines. So, also, so it's currently this con. You know, the D7 has 42 power available. Speed. Let's give it a nice speed of 16. Only 26 available. Now repair. Repair you would actually use for repairing your shields. So, at the moment, I don't have any shield damage, so I don't need to do anything for repair. And after that, that's it. I have nothing. I'm going to leave my target just sitting there at speed zero. That, okay, and I say yes. We always have this confirmation because after you do this, after you say, okay, I'm done EA, you cannot change it. That's it. That's your speed. That is what weapons you have allocated for that turn. In the case of, as I mentioned, the multi-turn army weapons. So we'll say yes, sure. I'm good to go. I'm rocking and rolling. This is what I'm doing. Okay. Now, after I got the EA, I don't need to look at that anymore. So I'm just going to hide it behind there. So after that's done, we go here. And we say, okay, we're done the energy allocation phase. So let's go here. Click next phase. It'll automatically announce what the speed is. It'll say, okay, here's your change speed. Now we go to the speed change phase. Now this is... Let me go over here. And that is sequence of play, which is, I'll go through it real quick with you, and then you'll see what happens. Okay, so the impulse procedure for each impulse, which there are 8 impulses per turn. Okay, first, on the first impulse, speed change phase, you can pay an additional energy token, which is based on how much movement, what your movement cost is. In the case of this D7, its movement cost is 1. In the case of the target, you see the movement cost here is 0.25. It's basically 1/4. So it's a smaller ship. It can use smaller engines. It doesn't require as much energy to go as fast. So that's how that works. After the speed change, okay, do you want to increase? So it gives you an opportunity to increase it by 1. So I'm not going to speed change. So next one is movement. Now, movement is broken into sub pulses. So you notice those pulse, so, you know, movement phase pulse 1, movement phase pulse 2. Now I move. So there's multiple ways of moving in online client. Number one is you can click on, you can use this game control window here, and you can click the arrow. That's one way of doing it. Another way to do it is if you imagine this as your as a keypad, you know, 7, 8, 9, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. You can use your new if you have a numeric keypad on your keyboard. Show you mine, which is like this. So you, oops, sorry about that. See, here's the keyboard, and basically the arrows here. Oops, sorry. The arrows here. I didn't realize I was hiding it. Map to this keypad, so that in the case of if I press. In the case of a Mac, if I do a command 7, or actually let's do a command 8, it will go straight. Now if I want to turn 7, so I do the move, 9, and so forth. That's another way. Now, the last way of moving in the client is the old-fashioned click and drag. So you can move it that way. Now let's undo the movement. Now, if you want to turn, hold down the shift key. Oops. Okay, wrong one. It's actually the control. Been a while, sorry. Yeah, if you just if you click and drag, it side slips. So let's undo that move. And basically, you should be able to turn it. I forget what it was. It's been a while since I've actually used it that way. I always use the this pad here or the keyboard. So I apologize for not knowing that off the top of my head tonight. But that's the two ways of moving. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move it using the keyboard. Now, it's next move, next pulse. Nobody moves. Next pulse, I move again, so I'm gonna go straight ahead. Next pulse, defensive fire. Now, defensive fire is special as, here it is. As described in the rules, it says, defensive fire phase, this is used in Klingon board to defend against seeking weapons. In the first mission, you don't use seeking weapons, but I'm going to go a little farther than the first missions, okay? At least, I might go to seeking weapons, but that I don't think that's going to be tonight. We're going to focus on direct fire weapons. So normally, as I said, the direct fire phase is used for seeking weapons. Now, just to let you know how that interaction plays, for those of you who have played Starfleet battles. Defensive fire, it's really weird for you when it comes to SFB. It's really weird. And this is why I say that. Because that when a seeking weapon hits you, quote unquote, hits you during the subpulses, you're still allowed one final last gasp to fire your weapons at your weapons at those seeking weapons before it actually hits your ship. So what would normally happen is the seeking weapon would hit your ship, and then you would then just move the seeking weapon with your ship as your ship moves around. And you then would, in the defensive fire phase, you then would fire your weapons at that seeking weapon. Okay, next one is offensive fire. Now, this is where people love offensive fire, because as defined by the rules, ships can fire each other in accordance with their combat rules. Any resulting damage is resolved. See the damage allocation. All fire is simultaneous, so any weapon destroyed during this phase can still be fired during this phase, assuming it was able to fire otherwise, i.e. it was not disabled and it was in arc. During this phase, each player must resolve all the fire on one ship before moving to the next ship. So if you have multiple ships, you'd actually do one, then the other, then the other, then the other. Didn't know that. Forgot about that. The player controlling a given ship must engage its targets one at a time, declaring each case all the weapons that being fired at that target before rolling die on any of them. He may assign two or more weapons to fire at a single target. If a target is destroyed by one weapon, the other still fire using energy and causing nothing. If the weapon is fired, this is for when you actually have the cards, which is marked that weapon on the weapons used track. Because if you go here, here it is. You have this track here, which shows the weapons used. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You would if you're using the cards, you would just mark that down. If you buy the cards, which I would recommend you do, I would then use a China marker. It's like a crayon almost. Either that, or you can use the wet ones. For the whiteboards, you can use those on the laminated cards and just mark them down there. That's usually the way it's done. Okay, so in this case, I don't think I'm close enough. But while I'm here at offensive fire, what I should do is explain to you range. When it comes to games, there's two ways of marking range. As strange as this might sound, because to me, it's the first time I found about this, I thought it was kind of weird myself. And that is, I'm going to count from the Klingon to my target. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, in the client, if you want to, you don't have to actually count it yourself. There's a range tracker. What this allows you to do is keep track of the range between two counters. Or if you want to, you also can select a position. So you always can say, okay, how close am I to this single position? That's most part is not important unless you have certain feet, like a certain terrain feature, or don't mind the rain. Or if you have other things, like a bomb that will go off, or a planet, and there's something special about that planet at certain ranges. So in that case, you might want to keep it based on a position. So I'm just going to put in the target, so then I'll just leave it over here. So now you can... you can just see this range, and so it makes it easier so you don't have to count. Now, be honest, I know a lot of players, unfortunately. They get so used to playing with the online client that when they try to use the board, an actual physical board, they have a hard time. Because they're so used to these additional features. For example, automatic range tracking. So they don't have to worry about, what is the range? Okay, I have to look at it. Because the thing is, when you're in person, and you're playing face to face. Not that you would do that possibly because in this corona age of coronavirus, the pandemic age. But if you might do it. But in that case, you want to count the range without, in some cases, allow your opponent knowing that you're counting the range. You know, so you don't want to go, you know, on the board, go, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, okay. 3 and 7. Now, yeah, so this is range one. From here to here is range one, which is from 1503 to 1603. That's considered range one. Now, in some case, some games, that'd be considered range two. Range one is within the same hex. But, you know, that's the way they do it. Doesn't matter here. That's the way we do it, which is if it's in the same hex, it's considered range zero. Now, it doesn't mean they're right here, but that means they're very close range. Okay? We're not close enough, so I'm not to do a firing. Okay, other functions. Other functions, that's when we get into other wonderful things. Where am I? Sorry, I lost my place in first missions. Here, the sequence of play. There it is. Okay, other functions. Those include tractoring other ships, using transport, using the labs, and other things. There are things like special sensors, which are on scouts, which allow you to do multiple intel actions and some other special features of that system. So at this moment, you don't have to worry about that because we're not covering that. But I just want to mention that's what's in there. Of course, launch phase, that's where you launch your seeking weapons in the case of the battle cruiser or even the Zinni frigate drone racks. So, so we're going to launch phase. That's what that happens. Okay. But that's for impulse one, turn one, impulse one. Now, as noted in the rules here, there, and I mentioned before, there's 8 impulses. So you repeat this procedure for the eight separate impulses. So it's continued, no speed change. Next. Okay, let me go over here so people can see where it is on the board. And that is, okay. I don't move. Next phase, pulse two, I move. Next phase, pulse three. Oops. That's one of those special things, which is, I don't move here. And the client go, oh, I want to move. And this is, oh, wait a minute. This piece doesn't move this impulse. So this ship does not move this impulse. So do you want to move anyway? Now, that's the one thing about the online client is that it is a play aid. It tells you you're going to do something illegal. It does not stop you from doing that illegal because there are certain situations that you might actually be able to do it. In that case, of like special scenarios, special scenario rules, which like can't be baked into the client. Things like that, you know, because Lord knows, I don't think anyone wants me to write the rules for every possible scenario. You know, it's better to have a play aid that helps you to run and play the game instead of trying to completely restricting you and what you can do. So I'll say, no, don't move. Okay. Going to the next phase. Oh, yep, I move. And next phase. Okay, defensive. I'm still not close enough. Offensive, skip. Next impulse. Okay, speed change. Nah, I'm going to stay the same. So, movement phase. Okay, let's go on to. Let's move. Okay. And then, nope. Okay, I'm going to sidestep towards my target. Do you hear the theme from Jaws? Dun dun, dun 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 dun. As the Klingon slowly approaches. Okay, defensive fire. No defensive fire. No offensive fire. Okay. Speed change. No speed change for impulse. We've gone on to impulse 4. We're going to say no speed change. Okay. Movement phase. No, first impulse, no, I don't move. Second impulse, yes, I move. So I'm going to move. Now, one thing to remind you about, I forgot to mention this. There's two things when it comes to movement. Number one, turn mode. There's a number of hexes you need to move forward before you can turn. This is completely based on your speed. Actually, two things, actually. Speed and what's called turn mode. Turn mode is the agility of your ship. AA is the most agile. Then you got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they basically get worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, G is being the worst. That's usually reserved for tugs or very, very large battleships. I think the Hiver battle, not battle, boy, sorry, the Saturnian Hive ship. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry. Hivers are a empire. The Hive ship is a Saturnian ship. The Hive ship is very large, and I'm pretty sure the turn mode on that is G. So it's very, very poor maneuverability, in which case, don't go too fast because you have to go a lot, pretty far. And so you have what's called a slip mode, a quote-unquote slip mode, of 1. That means after I slipped here, I have 2 options. I can either go straight ahead onto the next hex, or since my turn mode looks like it's quite completed, I could turn. But those are my 2 options. So either I can go straight or I can turn. I could not do another side slip. Because there's a side slip mode of 1. So you need to go forward 1 hex before you can side slip again. And go forward another hex and side slip again. So you can't just keep on side slipping. Now, there is one way of getting around that. It's kind of weird, and I'll show you shortly. Okay. Movement phase. There it is. Huh. Don't know that I got that. Okay. So, and let's move forward. Actually, let's undo that. You know what? I want to get as many weapons on my target as possible. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to side slip. I'm backwards, so I have to do it that way. And then next phase, defensive fire, no defensive fire. Now, okay, offensive fire. Now, I got a range 1. I think I've got him dead to rights. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click the fire button. Now, I have to click on all units. All units is mainly meant for a demo mode. In the client, it allows you to select not just the ships that are your opponents, but it also allows you to fire at your own ships, which in most cases is crazy. So that's why there's an all units. So I'll say all units, I'll say target. And there's two ways of selecting what you want to fire. One is the checkbox. So let's look at this. Okay, on fire phase 1, as you notice, this gets highlighted over here. Everyone thought, oh, I think I'll fire Phaser 1. I'm going to fire that disruptor. That's weird. That should be selected. That's a bug. But, you know, you should be able to select here, and this also becomes checked. And you see the target selected, and let's go here, and I want to fire. There's the phaser twos here and here, because it's right front, right, and left rear, left front, left, and right rear. So let's fire those two phasers. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Let's bring it over here. Okay. And now, when you fire at your weapons, each weapon has a certain amount of energy that is used to fire that weapon. And so, in the case of a phaser one, when you fire it as a phaser one, it takes 1 point of energy. Same for a phaser two. For a phaser two, it takes 1 point of energy. Now, given that, you know, the 1 point, so that's why you have to keep an eye out up here. The total energy, currently I have 26 power available to me. So, that's, so the moment, if I, with all these, I'm going to fire five phaser ones, one, two, three, four, well, three phaser ones and two phaser twos. That's going to be 5 points of power. So I'll say, fire! Okay. So that, what that does, it doesn't actually roll damage. What it does is it will then announce what you're firing to everyone in the chat room, include, obviously, most importantly, to your opponent. So that announces all that fire that you're going to be doing. So now what you have to do is go over here. Okay. So what you normally would do if you're playing against your opponent, you say, okay, firing P1s. And then you would go here and say, okay, I have three P1s, so pick three, and then see how this is one dice and then two dice. If you have a weapon that requires two dice, I would highly recommend that you use the two dice button. The reason being is that it will automatically add up the dice for you. And just a reminder, whether you choose the one dice or two dice, the result is going to be the same. That's because if you think about it, the random number generator that's used is produced, the random number is based on a six-sided die. And whether you decide to do it individually or have the program automatically add the two dice together, makes no difference. The results of the random dice will not change. Because random numbers are algorithmic to a certain degree. But, you know, it's pseudo-random. You know, it's not real random. It's not like we're using white noise. So anyway. Fire kit, that's 6, 4, and 2. And then firing P2s. Normally, that if you're in a live chat room, this actually would echo. So there, firing 2 phasers, 2. So, okay, we got those. Now, if you want to add up it, we have this weapon here. And what you do is you click on which the range here. So what was the range? The range was range 1. Okay, and what were the die rolls? The die rolls for range 1, for phaser 1, was 6. 2, 4. That's a total damage of 15. Now we want to add in the phaser twos. We We have 1 and 3, so we have a 1 and a 3, 24. So we do a display. The reason why we do a display is to kind of announce how much we think we damage we did. Normally what would happen then is to verify, because, hey, we make mistakes. To verify, what you then normally do is have your opponent add up, do the totaling himself. You know, go to the weapons chart as shown, click on the boxes, you know, the different cells, different numbers, and the second boom, and then he'll display what he thinks the total damage is, and if they match, then you're good, no problem. If not, then you have to figure out who's right. Is it that I clicked on the wrong thing, or is it that he clicked on the wrong thing? Because Lord knows there have been more than one time where a person thought they were firing, that they were on the weapons chart, they were clicking on like range 2, and they actually were range 3. And it was an honest mistake. You know, they didn't double check to see what range they were firing at. And they forgot when they brought it up, you know, we have short-term memory loss kind of thing. And so he did that. You know, it's like, oh, well, and then so that's why you want to verify. It's like, you know, that's wrong. You were range 3. And so the total is this. And then they go, oh, yeah, you're right. I was clicking on the wrong boxes. So just so you know how that works. Okay, so 24 points. So at that point, what you would do is you go over here. This is weird. Okay. I ran into a bug. Because I should be able to do things here. Okay. Well, normally what... this is embarrassing. I will definitely work on that for next week. For next time. But what you do is then you would go here. You click go. With the allocate damage. And what that would then would bring you up is a screen. So actually, let's try that. If you could hold on just for a moment. Let's do this. Let's take our game. Let's save it. Now, demo people can't save games. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to save. Fedcom earning. So I'm going to save my game for later. But what I'm going to do is this. Save the game. I'm going to actually exit this game. Now log out, log in, and this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to log into the server, because my guess is that's what my issue is. Okay. Start up the game, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go here and go low game. And please, load for both sides and load for your opponent. In the case, because I'm by myself, I want to load both. So there. So let's go over here. Target. See, now I thought so. So now that was 24 points of damage. So let's go over here. Damage, because everything went through shield number 1 here. And that was 24 points of damage. So there's going to be 9 internals. Now, if you notice, there's no leak damage because all there was internals. Reinforcement, it's got some batteries. So 1, 2, 3. Because that's one thing you can do with batteries. Batteries define how much reinforcement you can do. You're going to apply to a shield for a single volley. So You can use three batteries here. So I got a shield. So it has, it's got plenty of power. It's got 18. So 1, 2, 3. So reinforcement, I can use up to 3 points reinforcement. So it brings the number of internals down to 6. And now, one thing that's available in FENCOM is this interesting way of allocating. There's two of them. There's normal, there's target weapons, and target power. It depends on what you're trying to do, you know, and so that will modify things a little bit when, depending upon what you roll. I'm not sure this. Let's look at the right. Look at this. We'll see if it has combat. Right, there's firing arcs, volley definition, shields. Just a reminder that in the case of this, shield number one goes from this hex line here to this hex line. Shield number two goes from this hex line to this hex line. Shield number three, or back here, goes from this hex line to this hex line. 4, this hex line to this hex line. 5, this hex line to this one. And finally 6, this one to this one. Now, so depending upon where the ship is, in this case, I'm definitely firing on shield number one. But there's always what's called the shield line. So if I was actually fired right from here, back, okay. Oops, let me cancel this. If I was back here, then comes the whole fun stuff, which is deciding which one it is. If I recall correctly, so this, here it is. Split shield banner is a case where the line strikes exactly in the corner, as I just showed you. For example, if a ship is in hex 0804, firing on a ship that's in hex 0706, the owner of the target ship may select either of the two shields. So if I was firing from range 2, and in this case, then the person owning this ship, we could decide, oh, do I want to go shield number 1 or shield number 2? Oh, sorry, shield number 6. And, you know, which is you decide based on the tactical situation. For example, if you're moving quite fast, you might want to have it on your shield number 1, because then he fires, you fire, you turn. Now you've got a fresh shield facing him, and versus that if, and he has no way of getting to it. So if he's here and you turn, yes, your shield number 5 here would actually be facing him. So you could take on shield number 6, but if he decides to het and he goes faster than you, That's the one thing I have not talked about, which is high energy turns. But we'll save that for next time. Some of the more advanced things. But in that case, you know, you can actually get to your shield number 6. But anyway, let's go back here. Let's say allocate. I'm just going to do a normal allocation, okay? So damage was 24. Reinforcement is 3. Okay, like that. And then, okay, 6 internals, okay. And it'll automatically roll them. Now, there are certain situations in the client that you have to take control. It will prompt you in the case of if you hit a phaser. Okay, which phaser do you want to hit? You want phaser number 1, 2, or 3, or 4, in this case. Now, also, you have the ability to save, like, your systems. In this case, like, if you hit the disruptor, the client would prompt you, say, you know, do you want to take frame damage instead of your disruptor? Because you can, That's one of those damage allocation rules, which is, okay. In this case, it says once the damage was struck, it's first applied to facing shield. Each point of damage disables one shield box. Mark the shield and X and disable the boxes. If there are more damage than scored on the shield, remain scored one point of damage disable one box on the ship card. There's a simple procedure that includes volume die rolls and a chart for the first missions, which is the one I have here. You will have a specimen. The owner simply marks damage points on non-shield box he wants. So, in the case of first missions, instead of rolling the die, and let me go over to, let's hide that. Give me a sec. There it is. Okay. So that's one thing that gets announced, which is transport to lab, aft hull, forward hull, aft hull. That's the six internals. After taking, 24 points of damage, it only got six internals, which is good. It's still a viable ship. But as I mentioned, in the rules, in first missions, you get to decide which things get actually disabled. So that there's your damage allocation. So go on to the next phase. The next phase, the other functions, nothing else to do. Launch phase, not launching. Speed change phase. I think what I'm going to do is give me back here. I'm going to do a plus one. I've hit this Zinni hard, but I want to move quickly, hit him hard, and then move out of the heck, move away. So, forgot. First impulse, don't move. Next impulse, I move. So I'm going to go straight ahead. And what that does, and now we're on the same hex. If you notice, when you hold your mouth cursor over the ship, you'll see that it lists all units that are in that hex. You'll see the D7, you'll see the frigate and the name of the ships and their facings. And then also their speeds, what their current speeds are. So it gives you an idea of what you're doing. Now, I realized that was a dumb move. I shouldn't have actually increased my speed because okay, we go on to the next phase. Well, at this point, what I want to do is actually use one of those special things in FedCom, which is not in SFB, which is called cancel movement. You can use your power. Okay, go over the con here. See, currently I have 20 points of power. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel my movement. So I'm movement canceled for a con. So then go on to the next phase. I still want to stay at range zero. So I want to cancel movement again. And then on to impulse four. I'm on to the defensive fire phase. Okay. Offensive fire. Now range zero with my disruptors. Now, one thing you should know about disruptors. I'm pretty sure it's okay. Actually, this is not the case. Okay. And that is okay. Here's energy cost. Is two overload cost actually is two plus two, which is four. I probably should change that. But okay, so range zero, it's an automatic hit. So I've got, it'll take 4 points of energy to fire on the Zinni. So let's go over here where our offensive. So let's go and let's fire. That's weird. That's bad. Okay. And all units again. This time I'll fire my target, so I'm gonna fire all four of these. Now that's gonna take 16 points of power. Actually, no, if I let's make this. Okay. It's all marked for overload. So fire. Announces that, okay, Khan has fired disruptor range zero in overloaded mode. And if you notice, now we're down to 2 points of energy. So, which is overall, it's not awful, tactically speaking. Okay. Next piece. Okay, looks like there's a bug there. Okay, in theory, I should be able to fire, you know, do the damage again on the Zinni at range zero. Now, let's look at the Zinni just for a moment. Because I just. Okay, it's auto kill. I'm not auto kill. I mean, it's auto hit. So I don't even have to roll because of, as I mentioned here, and you saw on the chart, range zero, overload 1 to 6. So I roll one or anything between 1 and 6. A die only has 6 sides and goes from 1 to 6. So it's automatically hit. So that's 10 points of damage per. So that's 40 points of damage. So if I actually did the application, I would probably completely destroy this ship. It would be gone. So good thing that looks like there's a little bug here. So I can't do it. So, and this is what I'm going to do is. Okay, next phase, launch, no, okay, speed change back to 16, movement, okay, we're on the impulse 6, and then, okay, so let's move, next phase, move again. Move away from a gaping hulk. Okay, move again, because we're done firing. And now we're gonna turn. And so, as you notice, when you turn, okay, it puts a point of turn here. And then it, says, okay, you change facing after 17 moves. So it shows you how many moves you've been doing. And it Klingon's turn 2-18-12C. Next impulse. Okay, nothing to do. Launch phase. Speed change. So I'm still going to stay where I am. With speed 16. Okay, so let's go straight. Next phase. Fine. And go straight. Okay, next phase. Defensive fire, offensive fire, other functions, launch phase, and the turn phase. Now, for the Klingons, they don't really have anything to do. For the Federation, and the end of turn, if you have additional power available, you can actually use that to overload your photons. But nope. Okay, now we're on to energy allocation, and we would then go switch over to the energy allocation. And we begin. Khan actually, that's wrong. There's a bug there. That should be 2. I'll fix that. But anyhow, that shows you, the online client. How to play, and that's the beginning of play. So, we can continue this. Probably not next week, but the next time I'll go on to the next lesson about learning both the online client and learning about how to play Federation Commander. Obviously, if you have any questions, feel free to email me at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. For those who, so you know how to spell it. Obviously, I'm also on Twitter. You want to send me a message there, feel free. It's sfuoncall. I kind of monitor my Facebook group. So you want to post there, you can post there. And that's sfuoncall. Also, obviously, you can post things on the SFU discussion board on the StarfleetGames.com website. So with that, I will wrap this up. Hopefully you enjoyed the learning a little more about Federation Commander, how it's played. If you have any questions, feel free to send them to me. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.